As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita District 6 City Council Member Maggie Ballard. Welcome to Issues 2022. Nice to have you with us.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Well, let's begin with a little background. I like to do that on this show. Where are you from, and what schools did you attend?
Sure. I'm born and raised here in Wichita. I went to Woodland Preschool, Riverside Elementary, Marshall Middle School, North High, and University of Kansas.
All right. That's a good rounded education. I understand that you've owned at least 2 businesses. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. I've owned the Riverside Perk for about 5 years, and then I owned Maggie Scotch and Soda at 13th and West Street for just shy of 12 years.
And from those 2 retail or over-the-counter businesses, what did you learn from them? What lessons did you take from them, Maggie?
I learned how important relationships are, communication, listening. I mean, that's what you do as a bartender, right? You listen and, you know, counsel, problem solve, all of those things. So those are definitely some of my takeaways. And actually, I really miss both of them. I can't believe how much I learned that I didn't even realize until, you know, just later on in life.
They won't let you bartend at city council meetings?
No, I mean, not yet.
All right, let me backtrack just a little bit. District 6, for those who are not aware of what geographic area do you represent in?
Sure. So it starts on the north side of Douglas and goes all the way to the city limit north, and basically between 135 and 235, give or take.
Okay. And the Riverside area, but I get a disclaimer. You are my elected representative, right?
Well, good.
Since I live about a block west of Marshall Junior High School there.
Oh, very cool.
It's middle school. Yeah. All right, Maggie, what motivated you to run for office then, for public office?
You know, I've been working in the mental health field, mostly volunteer work, for the last several years. And, you know, I also have my son just turned 12 yesterday. I also just saw some issues that I thought maybe I could help with that were of interest of me. And I want to make sure that when it's time for Paxton to start his own roots with his career and his family, that there's enough opportunities here in Wichita that he doesn't have to look at Kansas City, Denver, Dallas, you know, some of those neighboring cities.
Well, back to a little bit to the first part of that answer, mental health, that's become a huge issue here in our community just the past couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, my parents had a store, an antique store in the 90s that was connected to the Eaton, you know, which is right next to NASCAR Park. So, you know, I was my son's age, about 12, and we were downtown a lot. So I knew that there was, like, homelessness and all of that. I just to be honest, it doesn't really look like we've made a lot of progress. So we still have a lot of work to do. I still see a lot of the same things still going on now that I saw in the 90s. So I'm super motivated, but until we address the issue at the root, it's going to be difficult to move the needle. So while housing and workforce is really important, we need to make sure that they're getting well enough to go to work to stabilize their housing.
Yeah, you won an election over an incumbent that last fall, not necessarily an easy thing to do. What was the secret to your success, do you think?
You know, I mean, I think growing up in this district and having my businesses, which, you know, is coffee, but a lot of people drink coffee. And at some point, I feel like people were waiting on a pizza at Nola's or, you know, getting their phone worked on at Mobilecom, that everybody made it to Maggie's at least once. So, you know, going to school in the neighborhood and still a lot of the parents living here, I just know a lot of people, and I feel like some of the charitable work that I've done over the years, people just trust me. And, you know,
Did you do any knocking on doors?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I knocked doors like crazy. I even had to have my dad drive me. I couldn't believe. When you're walking Benjamin Hills, it's a lot further. The houses are a lot further apart than you think than when you're in a car.
Are you enjoying your city council service so far?
I'm absolutely loving it. It's definitely everything that I hoped that it would be. Every day's different, and every day's hard. There's no smooth sailing, but that's okay. I'm definitely got my sleeves rolled up and ready to continue to work. But yes, I'm absolutely loving it.
All right. Well, personally, I've seen many candidates over the years, over the past few years, running on a promise to bring sound business practices to government operations. Do you agree with that approach?
I mean, to be honest, you could kind of go both ways. I mean, I see both sides of it. I just want to make sure that there's good communication. I think that's one of the things that I have learned the most at City Hall is it's hard to navigate, even when you're inside. I mean, obviously, I'm still learning, but it's not easy. And I don't know that we could run every single department, you know, like a business. But I certainly think it's a model that that we can, you know, kind of go off of a little bit.
Although a business has the pressure, of course, of earning making a profit. Still, mm-hmm. You've got to operate within a budget that's basically the same thing, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It sounds like a big budget until you start looking at it on paper.
Oh yeah, line by line, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, and there's a lot of lines.
Now, on the other hand, governments do compete with other business governments these days for attraction of new business and jobs. We hear about that a lot. How far should the city hall go in trying to lure new businesses, do you think?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, be open-minded and, you know, always encourage businesses to come to Wichita. I think, you know, since we're pretty centrally located, you know, there's a couple different projects going on right off of major highways that have easy access, you know, big warehouses. Maybe that's something that Wichita hasn't been able to offer in the past. So I think we're open to a market that maybe we haven't been able to entertain in the past. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited about some of those new projects going on.
What about industrial revenue bonds? Now, bonds, I know they have control and restrictions, and there are a lot of strings tied to an industrial revenue bond, but I think the average listener out there, average citizen says, whoa, $2 million in industrial bonds, they think we're just handing them money, don't they? But it's a little more complicated than that.
Yes. And actually, I had a one-on-one meeting with our economic development lady to make sure that I understood, because I was getting a lot of feedback on, oh my gosh, you know, $40 million. And I had to just, you know, make sure that everyone understands. And I even tell Tim Goodpasture whenever he's up at the bench, I'm like, okay, now explain that again, just so that everybody knows we're not necessarily writing a check. So there has been a lot of questions, and I've gotten a lot of feedback around that. So I think just making sure that we're educating people on what that really means, and making sure that everyone dots all the I's and crosses all the T's to make sure that everybody's following the rules.
Well, there is, I'm sure, that inclination. I've been covering news now for a long time, but there are times when they start in with the SET and the 4A and the star bond, It can be a little confusing. I'm glad. Just take a time out, and you may feel like you're a little dumb, but hey, the rest of us out here, we like to have that stuff explained too. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, it's a complicated topic anyway, especially, you know, with all the talk about star bonds and TIFFs and all that stuff around the ball field. I've just tried to make sure that we're all comfortable enough to, you know, explain it to my 12-year-old son that anybody can understand what's going on, because it all people are seeing is the dollars, and it's, you know, it's scary for everybody.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita District 6 City Council member Maggie Ballard. At a recent meeting, citizens tried to assess the biggest challenges facing Wichita. I don't know if you were at that meeting, but illegal drugs apparently was prominent. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listening to that question, I mean, probably the biggest thing that comes to mind is fentanyl. Obviously, meth, you know, is, we hear about that a lot in the news, and that is a huge problem, but so is fentanyl. And, you know, it's terrifying. I was actually doing reading a report yesterday just about trying to get my mind wrapped around some of our local statistics, and it's terrifying. I feel like everything, fentanyl is in everything, and just the smallest, you know, dose can kill people. So we definitely have got to hone in on that a little bit more to try to prevent some of these overdoses.
You know, there's an age group there. I noticed this. There was, and when they were breaking down the demographics of who mostly is being killed, it's the young people at 15 to 24 or something like that. And
right.
Yeah, we gotta make sure those kids know this stuff is dangerous, where it is, and it's in a lot of different pills, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I hear that a lot of people are making, you know, the pills, and they're not even, you know, measuring it. So maybe you took one pill before, but maybe it has a little bit more fentanyl, and so you're taking the same dose as in, you know, one pill, but you don't really know how much fentanyl is in it, and sometimes it's enough to take your life, which is, you know, just tragic.
Very scary. I talked to the police chief, it may have been the last, it was the last chief, yes. And he was talking about the fact that I mentioned meth, and of course, as you said, you're exactly what he said. Meth was the biggest problem at that time. This has been a few months back. And he said, but the thing is, we're not manufacturing it in somebody's backyard or in their camper. This stuff's coming up the border off through Mexico. And it's very organized now.
That's what I hear, which is, you know, a whole nother, you know, issue that, you know, we won't be able to tackle all by ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that's on our radar, and I feel like they learn a little bit more about it every day.
And speaking of police chiefs, city manager searching for a new one. Any thoughts about what qualities we need to look for in a new police chief as we try to replace Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good communication, relationships, and, you know, transparency. I feel like that's almost taboo these days, but I think those are really, really important. And I know that I've talked to some of my colleagues just about, you know, some specific areas of expertise, you know, maybe that is of interest to us, like, you know, reducing youth gun violence, you know, just trying to do a little bit more preventative stuff. I'm excited to see what that process looks like. I was cautious of when Gordon Ramsay was here and when they were doing that whole process. So I know a little bit of it, but I guess being on this side of it will be a whole new take. So, yeah, I'm excited to get that process going. But I'm extremely grateful that Chief Moore has been willing to step up, these last couple months and however long we're going to need him to help fulfill that need in the interim.
You know, you say your son was, 12, and I remember when my children and then my grandchildren is coming into that age of young teens. We want to protect them just as much as we can. They're so precious to us.
I know.
The subject of trees has been mentioned, we're Riverside people. Our city has, as I understand, about 40,000 fewer trees than we had just a few years ago. What can City Hall do? Can we encourage people to plant trees somehow?
Yeah, you know, I've been following this project. You know, like you said, we do live in Riverside. That's one of the reasons that I do live in Riverside. I love the trees. I love the river. I love everything that comes with that. I don't think City Hall's done a very good job at replacing them. You know, we've even been a little slow at taking out, you know, dead trees and staying on top of the maintenance of the trees. So I thought it was interesting that the public only has 10 to 15% of the tree canopy and the rest of it is on private land. So I would encourage, you know, citizens to plant more trees, but with that comes watering, you know, and trees are expensive. I was just joking around with my dad that this past Sunday for Mother's Day, the trees were half off at Sutherland's. I said, so run over and buy all the trees, you know, continue to plant them. Mm-hmm. But something else I thought was interesting that I just learned in the idea of trees is that we don't have a lot of what they call teenage trees. You know, we have a lot of the ones that they're just now planting that are maybe under 10, and then we have like 80-year-old trees. So we don't have anything like in the middle, and I think, you know, that just shows that we've kind of neglected to continue to replace the ones that we've taken out. So
yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that. I've got a brand new one in the front yard, and I've got some of the, as you say, some of those older ones around, and just weeding out my property, taking out the trees we didn't need that were causing problems, and putting up another one. You were exactly right. It's very expensive for a private person to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on top of the maintenance, I just got my trees trimmed yesterday, and I about died when they told me it was $1,000. And I know it's worth it. It's just, you just don't expect, you know, tree maintenance, I guess, to be that expensive. But I certainly don't want to get up in the tree.
I think you got off light there. But yeah. Well, you know, I'm watching the people who actually took down my 60-foot pine tree in their front yard, watching those four or five guys work. That can be a little dangerous because there's big logs dropping out of the trees. But they did a great job. My hat's off to them. What can you tell us about food deserts and the availability of healthy food to all Wichitans? What do you think about that?
Well, so Paxton and I, my son, we have our nonprofit. So we've been dealing with food insecurity and food deserts for a little over 5 years. So it's interesting to me, you know, how many grocery stores have closed, like even, you know, the Dillon's at 13th and Waco. You know, I mean, that's the store that we closed. And you wouldn't think that the grocery store at 21st and Amadon is that far, but you know, transportation is a huge issue citywide. So people that are walking to the store, you know, there is nothing close and convenient. So it bothers me that there isn't more fresh options available. I think, especially during the pandemic, there's been so many awesome programs that have tried to offer fresher food and meat and produce and things like that. But that's just not sustainable. So, I hate, you know, that the stores have closed, but it's also, there's some areas that like the grocery stores just don't work. And I'm not sure why. I guess that's the $1 million question is, you know, why did Food Savers close, the Save a Lot. I'm sorry, over, you know, off of Oliver or the one down south, because certainly there's nothing else to replace it. And I hate the idea of dollar stores and, you know, Family Dollar and things like that going in as a replacement, because it's not a replacement for a grocery store. We just haven't had companies that have been willing, other than the dollar stores, to move into these areas and spaces. So there's still a lot of work to be done. I know that the city's been working on this master food plan for about 10 years. And, that's another thing I've learned in local government is everything takes forever. Everything takes forever. I'm like, I have 4 years at least, and I need to get some stuff accomplished, but everything takes forever. So there's still a lot of work to be done. I know it's really important to a lot of my colleagues, so we just are going to continue to keep on pushing, but 10 years is too long.
Yeah. Hey, well, in doing a budget for the coming year, do you still have that benefit of federal money that was coming in for the pandemic? Is that still something you can use?
Only some of it. We have some, I think, that's set aside that maybe we haven't received yet. And I don't know what all the details are of that. But I have started thumbing through the bazillion pages of the budget to kind of look. It's kind of interesting. It's overwhelming for sure. But it's interesting to see, you know, the dollars that are attached to some of the programs or departments or whatever. to kind of try to dig into that. And it is kind of a rabbit hole. I mean, if you look at the police department and you just keep on digging and it just is like never ending. But it is really interesting. And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited to get going on that.
You think the city's gone far enough in disciplining the police officers who exchange those racist text messages we heard about? Did the city do enough?
I just met with Chief Moore, and I know that he's committed to reviewing the discipline, and I do trust him. That whole thing is just so unfortunate, you know, and especially because it seems like it has been a long time ago, you know, when it happened originally. And then when we found out about it, it's just, you know, over a year or maybe almost two years has passed. I'm really hoping that Lim uses his position to come up with the best solution, because I don't think how it was handled previously was in the best interest of anybody.
Let's talk a little bit about something that has been just a source of great pride, the Riverfront Stadium. You mentioned it earlier, and of course, there's been some controversy about that 8% charge they put on, but
Bit of controversy.
You've been hearing about that, huh?
Well, Oh, yeah. Nobody loves baseball more than I do. I mean, my dad's loved it forever. We try to go to all the different stadiums. So I was excited. If I was in council at the time, I probably wouldn't have supported it in the same way. But coming in kind of after the stadium was already kind of a done deal and open, I struggled really hard with supporting the hotel and the office buildings, to be honest. I was worried about expediting it while supplies are at an all-time high. But I also felt like I'm not confident that the baseball stadium will be able to survive on its own. And so I was worried, you know, that if we don't complete the project, as in the parking garage, the hotel, and the office buildings, that it is its only opportunity to make the whole thing work, basically. So yeah, it was really hard. I got a lot of, you know, feedback, good and bad. Unfortunately, Jordan is, you know, kind of taking a beating over some of the decisions that he's made. And some of them we didn't even know about until after the fact, much like the extra fee, the development fee. I mean, I don't want to think twice about me and my son going to the baseball game. I'm a single income family, and I don't want to have to think twice about going to a ball game because we don't have anything else going on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the area you're talking about, it used to be they'd have a couple of boxcars sitting out there.
Right.
That when we were growing up. So so there's Riverfront. Now, as we're getting short on time, what are the biggest challenges in being a city council member? What are the challenges you face that are biggest then?
I think, you know, just meeting staff and kind of them learning about me learning about them, you know, what things are important to me. You know, this ship has been going, and now I've kind of jumped on, you know, in the last couple months, and, you know, there are things that are important to me, and I'd like to work alongside, you know, some of the other programs that, you know, my other colleagues have been working on. So I think just learning to navigate City Hall, customer service is really important to me. So I just want to learn as much as I can to navigate so that I can help, you know, other people that reach out to me with issues. So that's about it.
Tell me about your the rewards. What are the payoffs other than a massive paycheck you get down there? what are the other rewards of being on the Wichita City Council?
I mean, for me, the rewards are when my constituent reaches out to me and is having a problem that I know who to connect with in City Hall, and getting an email from them or a call the next day saying, hey, oh my gosh, thank you, you know, this is already taken care of. Even just like a pothole, or, you know, just something really small like that, or this tree is down, or, you know, I'm having some issues, you know, over here, just as big or as small as it can be. You know, those are the things that I think are the most rewarding to me, is that I was accessible for people to reach out to, and I was actually able to help them with whatever the issue may have been.
And that goes back to your experience in business as a retail business operator and a bartender. You've probably had to do a lot of counseling and helping people out, right?
Yeah. And I've just learned to be a good listener. You know, I work for you. I work for, of course, the district, but the whole city. So I want to make sure that I'm accessible to help people because I feel like that's what my job is.
So being a single mom is not you learned to deal with that, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
So that's not a big drawback to you. All right. Well, listen, since your first radio interview?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's an easy question. Well, you did okay. Yeah. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, Maggie, and best of luck to you. We appreciate your service, and hope you have a successful run down there in the city council. Maybe a couple of them. So thanks for your time this morning. What you got?
Yes, thank you so much.
Our guest, Wichita City District 6 City Council Member Maggie Ballard, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.